When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Question for everybody out there. How is your day going? Because mine is awesome. Any Saturday and now Sunday, because we're live on Saturdays and on Sundays, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204, MSG Plus, so many streaming devices as well. Any day that I get to spend 2 hours talking basketball with you guys, I'm excited about it. We've done a boatload of LeBron talk and Steph Curry took. How about that spot in hour number one with the Hall of Famer, the NBA champion, Rick Barry? We'll have some clips up on our YouTube page on Sports Grid as well. But I want to dive into a few of the recaps of last night's games, because Friday night, I thought there were potentially some doozies, and ultimately, there really were some good games. All right, so let's first do the Bucks, because the Bucks and Jazz, you got Milwaukee, the defending Eastern Conference champs that continue to fall just a little bit short. You got the Utah Jazz, who are the best team in all of the land right now. And Utah came out firing as they always do. Joe Ingles at the half with 6 of 7 on threes, ends up with 7 total three-pointers, made 27 points on the night. Rudy Gobert put Giannis on a poster. Rudy got paid all that money, and he is proving he is worth it. 27 points and 12 boards, couple of blocks as well. Donovan Mitchell is awesome. This team continues to hit double-digit three-pointers. I gave you that number earlier in the show as well. Since January 18th, hitting 46% of their total points in each game are coming from behind the arc. I wonder how sustainable that is. There is, listen, the Milwaukee Bucks, they've been hovering. They've been hanging. They can't get these wins. They played poorly in the first half. Giannis had just 2 points in that first half, would end up with 29. Still, just not enough as they get dropped. 129 to 115. Give me the Pelicans and the Mavericks. That was the young game of the night. Luka Doncic, a career high in points, and he was a flat-out stud. 46 points, 12 assists, 8 rebounds. Porzingis goes for 36 points, had 8 three-pointers. When you're 7'9", he's not, I'm kidding. But when you're over 7 feet and you're banging three-pointers like that, going to be hard to stop you. And then you got to love Zion. Listen, let's give a little love to Zion. 36 points, 14 of 15 shooting. And I'm going to read this stat for you. I want to make sure I get it right. Elias Sportsboro had this out last night. Luka and Zion, the second pair of opposing players, each 21 or younger, to both score at least 35 points in the same game in NBA history. It's only happened one other time. Kevin Durant had 46 points. Eric Gordon had 41 points when the Thunder played against the Clippers in 2009. That was literally the only other time we've seen this type of output. And if we wanted to talk a little bit more about the Dallas Mavericks, and last week we talked about all the flaws And I cautioned everybody not to just throw them to the wayside and say the Mavericks stink, because Kristaps Porzingis was still getting, as I like to call it, his sea legs ready. It's the same thing that we can say of a lot of the other teams in the NBA. Anybody that struggled, the Miami Heat, at times the Phoenix Suns early. How about the Boston Celtics playing right now without Marcus Smart? Missed Jaylen Brown for a pair of games. Missed Jason Tatum for a bunch of games. This world that we're navigating through, whether it's injuries or protocol issues, it definitely lends itself to some of the good teams struggling. I am Keith Irizarry. Welcome in all radio audiences. It is Keith Irizarry, Betting Around the Rim, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204. You got us on MSG Networks as well and so many of our streaming devices. One last recap for you, the Lakers and the Grizzlies. This one was ugly in that first half. The Lakers are down by as many as 20 points. Ja Morant was on fire. Jonas Valanciunas was dominating. The Lakers looked putrid. This was over. Lay over and die. The Lakers are going to lose this game. They not only win, they win by double digits. Davis, 35 points in his return with 9 boards. LeBron James, 28, 9, and 8. My goodness, this guy is so good at basketball. And Kyle Kuzma, 20 points and 10 rebounds. If he can be a modicum of this, I don't expect Kuzma to be the real third wheel in this one, the third portion of this team. That's going to be a rotational thing, whether it's Schroeder, who played poorly last night, whether it's Montrezl Harrell actually played pretty well last night, or someone else. Kuzma had an awesome pass, played really well defensively, like above average defense last night, and then gives you 20 and 10. The Lakers are clearly a dangerous team. So it was a fun night last night. Quickly switch gears over to college hoops. Just a quick one, because we're going to do a bunch of college hoops this hour. We have some more information now about what's going to happen with the college, the NCAA tournament. We're going to start things off with the first four on Thursday, March 18th, and then kind of run the gamut there. And everything's going to be played pretty concisely. So you got March 18th, then you got the 19th and the 20th, and all our coverage on Sports Grid will be there as well. I'm going to be on the 19th and the 22nd, helping out with the March Madness coverage. And it will all finish up April 3rd for the Final Four, April 5th for the national championship. It is going to be a battle of attrition. I am worried that teams are going to opt out to get ready for this, but then I'll turn around and say, maybe I'm not worried. I just want the best teams to be there in that field, right? I want the best options, the best teams, the healthiest teams. Let's go. March Madness is just that. It's mad for a reason, and we are looking forward to it. The professor is in the house. When we return, let's do a little roll call. College style. Keith Irizarry, Betting Around the Rim.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Line up, learner!
The early line.
Knicks cover as a 6.5-point underdog. Under hits in this one. Miami took game one 109-103. And in game two, Jimmy Butler carried the Heat to their third straight win.
Jimmy Butler carries Miami. Feels like a fair description. He played 36 minutes. Miami wins this game by two. He was a plus 25. How is that possible?
The Sports Grid Network.
You think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
You know how we do, rolling along here on a Saturday morning, betting around the rim. It is Keith Irizarry, whole crew is here, and Chris and John and Sarah running the boards, and you got EJ and Steve helping out with all the graphics. What a team effort it always is. Love this team. Speaking of loving things, I love when the professor is in the house. Let's do some roll call. Roll call, here it is. Let's go college style, and here's what I want to do. I got a list, and for the TV audience, you'll be able to see it. For the radio audience, you can wait, and I'll be reading it out to you as we go along. But the list is not so simple. So it's very, I mean, listen, I could just tell you, here's the top 10 teams in America right now. I want to give you the top 10 teams I think could make it to the Final Four. Okay, and the reason I'm doing this is because this can help you guys, from a gambling standpoint, try to find the value in teams to make it far in March Madness. Obviously, you know, Gonzaga and Baylor are the best two teams in America, and we'll get to them in just a second, but I want to get to number 10 first, and it's Leonard Hamilton's Florida State squad. When you look at Florida State, they have been awesome over the last couple of years, 6-2 in the ACC. I know they haven't played in a while because they're on a little bit of a pause, but I look for teams that have juniors and seniors heavy in the rotation. Why do I do that? Because veterans tend to not get shook on the main stage. They've got a balanced attack. Five players are averaging over 9 points per game. MJ Walker's leading him with almost 14 points per game. You got Walker, Gray, Polite, Evans, and Osborne. Four of the top six players in minutes per game are juniors or seniors. Florida State is a team that hasn't played to their capabilities, their abilities this year. They are a team that can make a run in the NCAA tournament. Number nine, we all love us some Mac McClung, right? Mac McClung is the transfer, gives you over 17 points per game. Texas Tech's an odd team. Now, the Big 12 is pretty good. They're only 6-5 in Big 12 play, but they also have a deeper team than you believe, with Edwards and Santos Silva and Burton, all four upperclassmen, all four playing around 20 minutes per game. And, you know, obviously we had some fun this week seeing Chris Beard get ejected, and maybe we'll do that tomorrow. Man, you know, little tease, knuckleheads, moves to Sunday. Chris Beard may fall into that, but Texas Tech, tried, true, and tested. That's the other thing we're looking for with these teams too. Have they played big games? Have they won big games? Did they learn from the big game losses? And Texas Tech is a team that kind of falls perfectly into that category. It's some great value at plus 2,300 on FanDuel. Texas has been topsy-turvy also. They had a pause earlier on in the year. They had some injury issues as well, but the top 3 minutes per game on their team, all upperclassmen, Andrew Jones and Ramey and Coleman, started the year off 10-1, 2-4 since. So is that a trend we need to pay attention to, that maybe they're not as good as their 10-1 start? We've seen that, you know, over the years. I can remember many years Syracuse having week out of conference schedules, starting off, you know, 16-17, 18-0, and then finishing the year, you know, 25-6 once they get into conference play. Or is it just, this has been a little bit of a hiccup? Don't worry about it. I like the fact that they have multiple people that can score with, you know, I mentioned Jones, and but Gary Brown's a name that we should discuss because he hasn't been great yet. Can he be a clutch player for them? Illinois, also very good. Io's been fantastic. I always struggle with his last name. DeSumo is how you say it. Io DeSumo. He's been really good. One of the most impactful guards on this team, contributes in so many ways. He can pass the ball. He can rebound a little bit. He scores. Kofi Coburn is the interior presence. And this team isn't so much about the veteran leadership necessarily. This team is about just straight up talent. I know they had a tough game last night and ended up coming away with the win. But Illinois is a team, again, because of their stars, they have some talent. They have the ability to make a run into March Madness. Again, what am I doing here? It's Keith Irizarry, Betting Around the Rim, Sports Grid TV, MSG, and SiriusXM. I'm trying to break down teams that whether they can win the national championship is debatable, but whether they can make a run in the field of 68. Let's go to Villanova. We know about their leadership, right? 9-1 since Christmas is a number to pay attention to. They are giving you almost 71 points per game. They shoot the three-pointer at a high clip, almost 40% from beyond the arc. I love this Villanova team. I love what they can do with Colin Gillespie and Jermaine Samuels coming off a monster week as well, and Daniels, all of them averaging over 27 minutes per game. All three of them are juniors or seniors. Again, another thing that I keep coming back to, do you have your veteran leadership? Gillespie and Robinson Earl combine 30.5 points per game, 10.2 rebounds per game, and 7.2 assists per game. All of those are great. I love me some Virginia, and this is why I love Virginia at number 5, and I think they're great value on FanDuel as well at plus 2,000. They're not just about defense. They can play offense now. They score over 70 points per game, and they still do play defense. And they've been great since the turn of the calendar. And they've got Sam Hauser. The transfer has come in, and he is leading them in almost every category. He's a scorer, 15 points per game. He's a rebounder, 7 rebounds per game. Shoots over 42% from beyond the arc. Shoots over 52% from the field. They also have leaders in Hauser and Clark and Murphy and Huff, all juniors or seniors averaging over 25 minutes per game. Give me some Virginia. Give me some value with Virginia. I love them at number 5. The top 4, really, this was tough for me because number 3 and number 4, I think you could flip it. And honestly, if I was doing it this morning, if we would have flipped it, I might have put Michigan ahead of Ohio State. But as of last night, I had Michigan there. I like Michigan at number 4. I think either one can make a run. And there's a reason why. If you look at the top 4, these are 4 teams I think can end up being in the Final Four. They've been on pause for a while. So that's one of the reasons why I put them behind Ohio State. Top 3 minutes per game are all seniors. So that's a good thing. And Livers and Brooks and Smith and Hunter Dickinson, the big man down low, has been awesome. The freshman, 15 points per game, almost 8 rebounds per contest as well. 8 players are averaging over 11 minutes per game. We like that. Again, you've got some depth there. I'm giving some pause because they are on a pause, and I want to see what they are once they get back, right? I think it was Jeff Goodman last week that talked about once teams come off the pause, it's going to take, you know, I think whatever amount of days they were off, do half a day for each one, and that'll be how long it'll take them to get back to themselves. Ohio State at number 3. They don't have any superstars. That's what's interesting about them. They're all about depth. You know, we know EJ Liddell. The coaching staff has done a fantastic, Holtman has done a fantastic job of building them. They're a lunch pail team. They go out there, they're gritty. Now, it's weird to say a lunch pail team that also plays offense. They're top 40 nationwide in 3 points made, 3-pointers made, and 3-point field goals attempted. But they can get down and get into CJ Walker, Dwayne Washington. They'll play defense. They'll score. Dwayne Washington. And again, if we're going to look at all the seniors, you got 4 guys that are juniors or seniors averaging 26 or more points per game. Another big factor. Let's finish off as we have about 90 seconds to go with our final 2. And it's the 2 that I think everyone believes will be there. Baylor, Jared Butler, Davion Mitchell. These 2 guys are studs. They're going to be playing on the next level at some point when they choose to go to that next level. As a team, Baylor shoots over 50% from the field, 44% from behind the arc. They are a fantastic team. And then Gonzaga, just steamrolling through teams, double-digit victories basically every single night. Jalen Suggs, the youngster, has stepped in.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
And what's cool is we continue to hear that he has stepped in and he's taken a leadership role. And for a TV audience, we have it bolded in green. 2.2 steals per game for Jalen Suggs. So he's getting in those passing lanes. He's playing defense. I think it's clear Gonzaga, Baylor, they're number one, they're number two in America. The rest of that list is tough, but there is some value there. Speaking of value, our guy Joe Lisi joins us next. Betting Around the Rim, it is Keith Irizarry.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Be back with you again on Sunday morning as well. All right, so my next guest, if you watch our network, you probably think it is the Joe Lisi Network. We see him covering every sport. He's filled in on every show. He does his own shows. He's going to be on In-Game Live a little bit later on in the day today as well. Go for the two on Twitter. Joe Lisi, what's up, brother? How you doing?
Oh, doing well, Keith. Thanks for having me. I mean, a great college basketball Saturday, top 25 battles across the board. Doesn't get better than this. I'll be breaking it down in In-Game Live from 2 to 5 today.
All right, so let's talk about one of the early games, Indiana and Ohio State. The Big Ten has been fascinating to me. They've got a lot of talent in the Big Ten. And for my money, I think Ohio State may be the best team there. How do you see this game playing out?
It's interesting because I heard what you said about Ohio State just being a lunch pail team, not elite talent, but they're a team that's playing consistent over the last 10 weeks of the season. They won 8 of the last 9 games, Keith. They won 5 straight by 9 points per game. All they do is they play sound defense. They move around, they get rebounds, and to me, that's what matters. They're peaking at just the right time in the season. They have veteran players like Dwayne Washington, Walker, and Liddell. To me, that's the difference. In order for Indiana to step up and win this game, they're going to have to shoot lights out the way they did a couple of nights ago against Iowa, where they converted 58% of their field goals. It all falls on Trace Jackson Davis to step up and win this game. I don't know if they can do it. I laid the wood with Ohio State today at home.
Nice. All right. So you're going to lay that there. Let's dive a little bit further on Ohio State, though, because I love what Chris Holtmann has done. And you cover college football all year long. And it's one of the main things you do for this network. Chris Holtmann, to me, tell me if you agree. I get the vibe that he runs this Buckeye basketball team like he's running a football team.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the biggest thing I think that I wanted to bring up is the way they're playing right now, right? Consistency. We saw it with Alabama and Nick Saban throughout the middle of the season. When you can find a basketball team that is playing consistent during the COVID type of environment, that's a great attribute to have, not just during the regular season, but as they move on to the conference championships and, more importantly, the NCAA tournament. So I agree with you. He has his players behind him. They're buying in his philosophy, and he's running this like I want to say, you know, some of the better college football coaches within the Big Ten and throughout the NCAA right now.
I love it. Again, Joe Lisi joining me, Keith Irizarry, Betting Around the Rim. Oklahoma and West Virginia, a top 15 battle, a conference battle, and these are also two teams that have designs of making a run in March Madness.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, if Oklahoma beats Texas Tech a couple of games ago, right, we could talk about Oklahoma being one of the hottest teams within the Big 12. They won four of the last five. But on the flip side, you have Miles McBride in West Virginia that have won three straight. They knocked off Texas Tech, Iowa State, and Kansas, respectively. They're an up-tempo type of offense. They want to get you into the 80s. And on the flip side, the Sooners want to get you more into a half-court type of environment with Austin Reed. I'm going to go with the more, I want to say, defensive better team, in my opinion. I'm going to go with the Sooners here. They're 11-6 overall against the number this year. The line opened up at 2.5. It's up to 3.5 now. I think Oklahoma can make a statement here on the road. I don't think it'll be easy, but in the second half, I do feel that they can make this a game and possibly pull out the victory in Morgantown today.
I'm with you. I like Oklahoma. These two teams did play back in early January, January 2nd. The Sooners won that game 75-71. Sooners, though, they haven't played since February 6th. They had that Baylor game that ended up getting canceled. Last game on this, for our TV audience, on this board that we have there, is Tennessee and LSU. Tennessee falls into the category of, huh, team for me. I never fully know what I'm going to get for them. Every time I roll with them, I bet them and I'm like, all right, this is a lock. It's easy. And then they stumble and they have these like weird games. What do you make of Tennessee?
They're one of the most intriguing teams in terms of the top 25. Look at that game last weekend in Lexington. They trail by 7 at the half. They're down by 10 within the first 5 minutes of the second half. And somehow, some way, Jaden Springer and the crew turn it on and win that ball game against Kentucky by 11 points. They dominated the Wildcats, dominated Kansas. Now they go on the road to face a very athletic team in LSU. LSU picked up a 14-point win over Mississippi State the other night. This is a team that has lost three of the last five games, but they have solid guard play. Cameron Thomas, Javante Smart, to me, can penetrate that zone. I'm going to go with the more athletic team. I think it'll be a close ball game, but give me LSU plus the points. I also like them on the money line to strike the upset. Tennessee on the road traditionally has struggled this year. They lost to Ole Miss a couple weeks ago, 52-50. They're an inconsistent team. When they're on, Keith, they're one of the top teams in the country. I just don't buy into the consistency with Rick Barnes and the crew right now.
I love that you picked LSU because my producer, Chris Kofsky, produces a lot of your shows as well. Every week he tells me he wants to put LSU in, wants to sprinkle LSU in. So I think both of you guys must like LSU. All right, let's switch gears a little bit. When we look at the landscape of college hoops right now, typically we would see Duke somewhere in the top 10. They're not. We would see Kentucky somewhere in the top 10. They're not. The Kansases of the world, the UCLAs of the world, the North Carolinas of the world. All these blue blood schools have struggled this year and some even struggled last year. Is that good or bad for college hoops?
I think it's great for college hoops, and I'm so happy that you brought up this subject because I want to piggyback what you just said in terms of those elite programs. We saw with college football, Michigan and Penn State struggle right out of the gate, untypical type of regular seasons. It looked like the wheels were falling off the wagon. Some of these coaches have to actually coach up the talent now, right? They just can't just plug and play like they used to. So that's what's good about college basketball. That being said, you look at three programs in particular, Duke, Michigan State, and Kentucky. On Monday night, they all lost, right? Did not cover. If you've been betting all three of those teams, Keith, you've been getting hammered in terms of the Vegas angle, right? I like them, all three teams today. Duke against NC State. I like Kentucky against Auburn. And I'm taking Michigan State against Iowa. Line opened up at 5.5. It's down to 4.5. Give me the Spartans at home. I think they strike the upset over Luka Garza and the crew today.
I love that you do that with Michigan State there too, because Iowa's another team. You know, they start off the year gangbusters, one of the top five teams in America, all the mania about Luka Garza. But I'll flip it though on Iowa. I think if Iowa can find a way to win today against Michigan, in theory, they should. They're favored, right? But I know you're taking Michigan State. If they can find a way, I see some value in them in the Big Ten tournament. They're plus, I think it's 600 or plus 700 to win the Big Ten tournament. Obviously, we know Michigan is the best team in that conference. We know Ohio State may be the best team in that conference. But Iowa's a deep team that hasn't played well as of late. And you watching Iowa, do you see anything that's sticking out to you? Or is there a red flag that says this is why they're not playing well? or are they maybe just not that good of a team?
Well, I think it comes down to they play down to the level of competition. And that's the one thing. You see some of these other teams within the Big Ten, right? Ohio State is just peaking at just the right time. They are taking names and just going through the schedule. Boom, boom, boom. You look at Iowa, it seems like they need to be up. When they play a top 10 team, yeah, then they give it their best effort. But if they're playing Indiana like they did a couple of nights ago, they just play down to the level of competition. That was a game that they should have dominated, and yet they lost by 2 points. So it really comes down to mindset. I'm not so sure that Iowa and Luka Garza have the type of mentality to get to, let's say, the Elite Eight of the college basketball tournament this year. So it's going to be intriguing because you really want to pick the teams that are peaking at the end of the year, a la Ohio State and some of the other teams within the Big 12 right now.
Joe, in my last segment, I know you caught some of it there. I was doing my roll call with my top 10 teams that have a chance to get to the Final Four. We know Gonzaga, Baylor, barring anything catastrophic, they should be there. And you and I seem to be pretty high on Ohio State. Outside of those three, and maybe I'll take Michigan off the table too, because we know they're really good. Who's maybe a team that right now is hovering around that, you know, 10, 11, 12 in America, in that area, that you think could make a run to the Elite Eight or Final Four? Who's built for that?
Well, I like defensive-minded teams, right? And that's why Baylor's there, right? So I lean to Texas Tech as well. Texas Tech has been there, done that. When you could play defense, especially in the tournament, you're going to have an opportunity. So give me Texas Tech, and I'll lean to Tennessee as well. Maybe they lose this ball game, but I still think their defense, only giving up 60 points per game, can travel very well in the NCAA tournament. So there's a dark horse that I like in terms of the SEC. And then let's not forget about Alabama. I mean, Alabama, to me, they had a couple of games where they didn't shoot very well, but when you could average 80 points per game and you have athletic playmakers on the perimeter, you can make a deep run into the tournament.
Alabama is a basketball school. I got to hit it with you. Do you think teams are going to opt out of their conference tournaments to prepare for the NCAA tournament? And do you think, and maybe should they?
You know, I think we will see maybe one or two. I really hope not, because then that'll set a precedent, you know, in years to come. I just don't want to see that, but I think we will see one or two teams opt out of the tournament this year.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. Joe Lisi, you are the best. We'll be watching you later today at 2 o'clock Eastern on In Game Live. Joe, thanks so much for the time, bro.
Anytime, Keith. Love the show.
There he is, Joe Lisi. Follow him on Twitter. Go for the two as we wind down right here. When we get back, we're going to dive into the world of the NBA. Worldwide Wob will join us. I want his take on LeBron.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Embiid, Steph Curry, there is a MVP debate that is brewing. The Twitterverse wants us all to believe that Steph Curry is the MVP. I told you earlier in the show why he can win, also why he won't win. I want to hear that from Worldwide Wob as well. It's Betting Around the Rim. I am Keith Irizarry.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, the MVP is funny because it's going to be changing every week. You know, people are going to start to look a little foolish because it's so volatile in terms of who is the leader in the clubhouse, right? And now that Steph Curry has, in your words, entered the conversation, sure, I'm more than happy to entertain the three of them potentially winning this award. Now the cases for each, LeBron James, as you see there, is at the very top of the odds list at plus 220. That is because this man has played not only every single game, but he is out there against the Pistons, the Grizzlies, the Thunder, playing every single night and overtime minutes into the 40s against these teams in February. He clearly wants this MVP to put on his legacy that in year 18 and 36 years old, I'm the only one that played every single game during a coronavirus-ridden season. Okay, that's clearly what he's going for. And a lot of the voters, because this is a subjective award, Keith, they're going to see that and realize this is a big deal. Because between Steph Curry, Joel Embiid, and LeBron James, I can find you a statistic or analytic which is going to make one look significantly better than the rest. So ultimately, it's going to come down to their stories. And where are they finishing in the standings? For Joel Embiid to have a chance, the Philadelphia 76ers have to be at the top of the Eastern Conference. And when it comes to the MVP, it's almost in his best interest that the 76ers lose games when he's out, because they stink out loud when he's not a part of that lineup. Okay, they are a drastically different team, but when he's in, they're the best team in the Eastern Conference. So he has to continue to play at that level and show his definition of value. And ultimately, the third party is going to be Steph Curry. And as long as they're in eighth place in the Western Conference, he's not going to win MVP. But that starts tonight on national TV against the Big Three and Kevin Durant, that if he pulls off a victory against those guys and starts to climb the standings again here, like, this is a team that would be 15th place in the West if it wasn't for Steph Curry. So he has many Joel Embiid qualities to his campaign.
Yeah, Curry is the Warriors are a plus 67 when Curry is on the court. They are a minus 12 when he's off the court. I brought it up earlier, and you mentioned climbing the ladder in the standings. Are they better than the Nuggets? No, but can they unseat them? Maybe. Are they better than the Spurs? Probably not. Are they better than the Blazers? Probably not. Those are three teams that they probably have to jump for Curry to realistically have a chance at this award. All right, Worldwide Bob, let's get into the Utah Jazz. You and I both have such an affinity for this team. But I came across this stat, and I want your opinion on this. So since January 8th, 46% of their points have come from behind the arc. It scares me a little bit about sustainability.
Yeah, especially in the playoffs when the defensive intensity is turned up, the pressure's on these shooters, potentially there's fans in the crowd making it a little bit more difficult to shoot. But there's a couple facts here that matter to me and why I think what they're doing now is going to translate to playoff basketball. They've won 17 of 18 games, guys. That doesn't happen by coincidence when 15 of the 17 are by double digits. They're doing this without the number one net rating player in the NBA. Mike Conley Jr. has not played this week. He is individually plus 17.7, meaning the Utah Jazz are 17.7 points better than their opponents when Mike Conley Jr. is on the floor. And he's not even there for this during this run. Donovan Mitchell is eighth in the NBA in usage, which means he's involved in 30.6% of the plays end result. Last night against the Milwaukee Bucks, four players on the Utah Jazz scored 25 points or more. What does that suggest to you? Donovan Mitchell has the ball in his hands a lot like he's had in the past. He's a volume scorer, but he's creating for others and making others better, something he hasn't done in previous seasons despite being an all-star. They have Jordan Clarkson, who has the greenest of green lights that I've seen since J.R. Smith. He has career highs in points per game, three-point percentage, front runner for sixth man of the year. Oh, by the way, he's 97.4% from the foul line. And how can I talk about the Jazz without mentioning Rudy Gobert, who's had just one game in his last 10 that he hasn't had multiple blocks. Like, they check every single box. And to your point about the three-point shooting, we have to start talking about, are you able to do this 4 out of 7 times against the Lakers and or the Clippers in the playoffs? Is it sustainable? And for me, they check this box. They got star power, and Donovan Mitchell is able to get tough buckets in the half court. They have shooters who command the respect of the defenders so that they can't cheat off when there's dribble penetration, right? They have a bench this year that can play to net zero, meaning when Donovan Mitchell comes off the court, when Rudy Gobert comes off the court, they don't lose anything like they did last year. Those 12-point leads against 12-point leads against the Nuggets have completely disappeared in those in that bubble series when Donovan Mitchell came off the floor. That's not going to happen anymore. And ultimately, they have a defensive anchor that if you have a LeBron James or a Kawhi Leonard or a Paul George, they have someone, they have a skyscraper standing in that paint who can neutralize any opposing superstar at the rim, something they can say that a lot of teams can't. And that's why I think this will be a long-run thing for the Utah Jazz.
Worldwide, Bob, joining me, Keith, there's Harry Betting around the rim. I want to go a little bit further and dive into Rudy Gobert because I think so many things you said there are so right that I'll go here. Is he on the list of most underappreciated players in the NBA by the casual NBA fan?
By the casual NBA fan? Yeah, I'll listen to that. But the man's getting paid almost a max contract here. So clearly people who matter think Rudy Gobert matters. And if you watch the NBA and see what the difference is when Rudy Gobert's on the floor on the defensive side, he's got people airballing layups from 3 feet out because Gobert is within the vicinity. Everyone is looking over their shoulder to see where Rudy Gobert is on the floor. And it's that type of presence and impact on a game that he doesn't need to be involved in the play to print his, you know, his impact on it. Like that says a lot in the league in which every player was the best basketball player on the court for their entire lives that they're thinking about somebody else. So yeah, Gobert, he can't like go out there and guard 35 feet away, but he is one of the shining examples of the endangered species, which is the true center big man that can exist on an NBA court, starting at the defensive side, that is still effective. Like he is, I mean, he's another one of those guys that is plus 10 at least when he's on the court versus when he's off. So for me, yeah, he is the anchor of that defensive side.
If we move to the Suns, they've got a big man also that has been one of the important factors of their team in DeAndre Ayton. But even more, as I watched this Suns team and we saw what they did in the bubble, adding Chris Paul has just added another layer to them. They're the fourth ranked team in the Western Conference standings. As we sit here on February 13th, how do you view the Phoenix Suns?
I view them as a competitive first round team that's probably going to go to a 7-game series in the first round. Like I am just being completely realistic and honest here. They may ultimately win that series because they have Chris Paul and they have Devin Booker. They have the star power. They have the Mikal Bridges of the world, the DeAndre Jordans, the Cam DeAndre Aytons, excuse me, the Cam Johnsons. They got these young guys as well, but are they going to be able to show up and win 4 out of 7 games against someone like the Clippers in the first round, or whoever, the Denver Nuggets, some veteran team that you know has gristled and been there before? I trust Chris Paul. Chris Paul makes everyone better, even at this age. This is the type of guy that's going to be playing in this league until he's 40 years old. You know, when Greg Maddux lost his fastball and he went to the circle, developed the circle change and lasted in the major leagues for another 10 years. Like Chris Paul has done that now that he's lost his ability to be fast. Like he plays, we know what Chris Paul is. He plays under the rim. He's an Uncle Drew type style. And he just makes everyone else better. So this Suns team will go as far as Chris Paul can carry them, but how far can a 6-foot human carry a team in the NBA playoffs is always the question we have to ask around Chris Paul teams, because at some point, if little 6-foot Chris Paul is guarding 6'11" Ben Simmons, I know that's not going to happen in a playoff series, but you see what I mean here. At some point, is it sustainable? I just don't know in a 7-game series. If it was March Madness, for sure, the Suns could catch fire at any moment, but 7-game series, first round.
Yeah, Chris Paul gives you the feeling of you're down at the park and there's the older gentleman that's there playing and he just is working you. You don't understand how he's doing it, but he continues to do it. Let's go to the Dallas Mavericks now. And last night, Luka was awesome. Sets a career high in points. Porzingis was awesome. 8 3-pointers. I cautioned people about 2 weeks ago not to give up on the Dallas Mavericks. I said they had flaws, but Porzingis hadn't fully come back yet. Did last night change your opinion on them at all? Are they a playoff team with these two? Or am I getting too high on them off one game?
Yeah, I think there's a little recency bias here. Mavericks fans tend to think that I'm a hater of their team. I just don't think they're very good. I don't think what they can do is sustainable. You gave up 130 points to the Pelicans. I understand you scored 143 yourself, but they've been doing that to a lot of teams. Now, the Mavericks roster that returned this season has a lot of the same players that set historical efficiency marks for NBA teams ever last season. Okay, so this they're going to score points. We know that number six in Luka Doncic are very good at scoring the basketball, but they rely on those two setting records every single night to pull out a game by a couple points. And to me, you just can't do that every when you play no defense and the other team's getting bunnies at the rim. They allowed Zion Williamson to set the franchise record for points scored in the paint because they can't stop anybody. Number six can't guard anyone out on the perimeter. Okay, so I want to believe because we know how good Luka Doncic is, an MVP candidate. But when his 3-point percentage career-wise is still hovering around what Draymond Green's is, there's a reason why they play 72 games, okay? And there's a reason why they do a 7-game series and not just one-offs or sudden death, because the NBA wants to feature the best players on the biggest platforms, and the best teams are always going to rise to the top. And the way the Dallas Mavericks play defense right now, very similar to the Brooklyn Nets to me, maybe they can get into the playoff game, into the play-in game. That's a 7-10 seed. But other than that, I'm not a believer just yet.
Other teams that want their name to be in the conversation of best in the NBA, the Boston Celtics. Kemba Walker didn't play last night. Peyton Pritchard started. He did not look good. I love Peyton Pritchard. It didn't work for him as a starter last night. With all of that, though, can we judge the Celtics yet without Marcus Smart being back in the lineup?
It would be unfair to. And the only thing I'm watching here right now with the Celtics is Kemba Walker's return to not superstardom, but at least being an all-star. He had one game there that he hit a couple shots down in the clutch. He made his free throws. But this team is going to go as far as Kemba Walker can take them because he's the point guard. He's going to be on the ball. And there's going to be a lot of times down the stretch of those playoff games in which they're relying on him to go get them a game-winning bucket. We know how good Tatum is. We know how good Brown has become. They have defensive liabilities. They're asking Daniel Tice to carry the burden of the entire franchise on his shoulders. They're asking him to be Rudy Gobert. And until they get Tristan Thompson or Andre Drummond, I just don't know how they can win 7-game series in the playoffs against these better teams.
Yeah, I think it's going to be difficult for them. Never difficult chat with you, man. Love it. And we will do it again next Saturday. Thanks, bro.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Keith.
There he is, Worldwide Wob on Twitter. Follow him. Best Bets coming up next. It is Betting Around the Rim. I'm Keith Irizarry.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Goodness, we're winding down, just about 2.5 minutes left in the show. Again, shout out to my whole crew here. What a great job they do behind the scenes. Kofsky, John and Sarah and EJ and Steve, everyone's doing a fantastic job. You can watch us each and every Saturday and Sunday. Now we are live on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM channel 204, Sirius XM channel 204, and then of course on the MSG networks. Let's get to some of my best bets of the day. We'll bring up the screen for the TV audience. I'll talk you through it for our radio audience. On the college side, I like Villanova to win and to cover. They opened at 3-point favorites. I feel like too many bets went on Villanova. They adjusted the line. Wildcats have posted a 9-1 straight up record in their last 10 games, 6-4 against the spread. All of those feel like good bets for me. Blue Jays, while they have won 5 of their last 6 games, they are bad against the spread, 2-6 against the spread. On the NBA side of things, you guys know this, I don't typically go for the under, but I saw a number that jumped out to me on a player prop. I'm going under 14.5 rebounds for Clint Capella against the Pacers. The Pacers are one of the best teams in the NBA giving up rebounds, the 7th least rebounds to opposing teams. So that number screams to me Clint Capella won't be able to crash the boards the way he likes to. Also, 18 rebounds over his last 2 games for Capella. do the math, right? That's 9 rebounds per game over the last two. Averages 14. That's why the number at 14.5 is very enticing. I got to go under on Capella there. The Atlanta Hawks, they've been struggling, and the Pacers will keep Capella off of the boards. There are a boatload of NBA games today to watch, a boatload of college basketball to watch. I'm so excited that we're here with you today and back with you again tomorrow, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern. Again, for everybody here at Sports Grid and for our guests, I am Keith Irizarry. Remember, if you can't trust me, how can you trust yourself? Good luck with all of your bets. All right, roll along. See you tomorrow. It is Betting Around the Rim. Later.